Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Okay, Ron, if you had to interview a guy, okay, who wrote a comic book series, this is a big deal for you, right? And okay, you had to have an opening question. Your opening question was, true or false, who the hell do you think you are? What would then your follow-up question be?
That's awesome, because I didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah, nobody multiple heard a thing.
Choice, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Oh, I like that. I like that. There you go. See?
Multiple choice answer.
Oh, this is going to be a good episode. Brothers!
Can you hear me now?
We can. You're super laggy, buddy.
Yeah.
Continue on. I don't want to get dead air. Let's go.
I didn't know if you were going to cut it out. Brothers, sisters, gender resistors, welcome to another episode of the Comic Trek Downs review of Star Runners Rundown review. We watched Star Wars, or we watched Star Trek. We watched Star Trek. Listen, hey, I'm the guy that tried an introduction, and now we have dead air. This is going to be a fun episode for you to edit, Joey. I am Chuck. We are joined sometimes by Ron. We'll see if he comes back. Most importantly, we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend. More importantly, my best friend, Chris, which means we did indeed watch a Star Trek episode, Nemesis. All right, we watched a movie. This is the episode. And it was Nemesis.
Yes, it was Nemesis.
So this is the last one of the new gen people. Or next gen?
Next generation. Yes.
Next generation. Not new generation. Okay. I didn't hate it.
that's such a rousing endorsement there.
I mean, honestly, so it's been probably at least 2 decades since I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
That'd be accurate for me too.
Maybe 2.5. And in all honesty, it wasn't. I didn't remember anything of it.
Can you hear me?
Got you now. Yes, you're back. You're good.
All right.
So it's been 20-25 years since I've seen this movie, and I didn't remember jack squat of this. So it was kind of nice to go into it knowing literally nothing, and it wasn't terrible.
I wish I went into it having that kind of memory of a swallow air velocity of a sparrow at that point, because unfortunately as I
went, European as I started, or African
both actually it's a new age, it's like a hybrid, you know.
But holy shit, Tom Hardy.
Yeah, early right. Tom Hardy too. Actually, he was one of the shining stars of the movie.
Wait, yes, the bald guy was Tom Hardy?
Yeah. Did you not notice this like this? Movie.
No, he looked like a child.
Yeah, he was a child.
This was his third movie.
He was like 17 years old.
Hey Chuck, he was literally born in the darkness as this character.
Yeah. I have that as one of my notes. What's with Tom Hardy being born in the darkness?
He loves darkness. He loves deep pits.
Wow. That you said it, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, Commander Donatra or Donatara or whatever was Dizzy from Starship.
Dinah Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dinah I would still bang the shit out of her.
Yeah.
I don't know what her name is.
Yeah.
Wait, also, which one?
The Romulan.
Romulan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But she has to keep the makeup on. You know, okay, wait.
That's all she has to keep on, though.
Okay, so I actually, while watching this, did kind of have a question that I would like to pose to probably Chris, since he's the biggest, and then maybe Joe, second biggest fan. Are we to believe that no aliens in the universe ever wear makeup because, like, okay, so, like, because, like, the Romulan had, like, weird, like, green highlights. Were we so, were we to believe that that was just their skin tone?
Yes.
Or do they, like, just wear makeup? Like, yes, they have, like, prosthetics to imply that they are a different species and races, like, race, but am I to believe that only humans put makeup on in this universe?
No, Deanna Troi puts it on, and she's only half human.
Yeah.
But still human.
Her mom puts it on in the show, so no.
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume that's just how the Romulans looked.
Right, they definitely wear makeup.
But, like, nobody, essentially, like, no alien ever wore makeup?
Worf absolutely wears makeup.
Does he?
Okay.
Yeah, it makes him look angrier.
Oh, well.
That's why he wears it. It's an intimidation thing. It's like when the old Bretonians used to put the blue on their faces, you know?
Oh.
Okay, maybe, sure,
but this definitely is the most divisive of the movies in the Star Trek community. I can tell you that much. You either like this movie or you really don't. There's really not in between.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before, though. So
yeah, see, there you are. And this is the lowest grossing Star Trek movie of all time, even lower grossing than Final Frontier.
What?
Yep. Yep.
That's gross.
And this was not supposed to be the final movie of the Next Generation cast. It just made so little money that they weren't going to invest anything more into it.
Really?
Yeah, this was not meant to be the swan song.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, it's the interesting thing is, like, the director of this was his third movie. Third and last. Yeah, he, Stuart Baird, came in, had no basic understanding of ever seen a Star Trek episode before, any of the movies before. His previous films were actually U.S. Marshals and Executive Decision, so not necessarily bad movies, but yeah.
U.S. Marshals is a sequel to The Fugitive, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so Rick Berman's been, like, the executive producer for, like, forever in this, but he was kind of nearing the end of his kind of Star Trek years, but he wanted to bring in new blood, so chose this one. Writers that have never had any interest in doing Star Trek. And, yeah, Stuart Baird, the cast hated working with him. They didn't respect him. He kept on getting people's names wrong. At one point, he was convinced that Geordi LaForge was an alien and kept on trying to promote that idea. Yeah.
They never watched the show.
Why didn't they just have number one direct this one again? Like,
Rick Berman wanted kind of new blood going into it, didn't want to keep going into
it. Who the fuck is Rick Berman?
He's been the executive producer for Star Trek for a while during this time. But yeah, interestingly enough, Brett Spiner was one of the people to help write this movie.
Okay.
So
that makes sense since Data's like the hero. But yeah. Data's been the hero in almost every movie. So almost every movie that he's been in, he has been the person that brings it back to, you know, ground zero for everybody. Yeah, he's the one that saved Picard First Contact. He's the one that was figured out where the ship was in.
I would say Generations is the only one where he didn't really do much.
But that's because
that was a Shatner and Picard.
Yeah, movie. It was a Shatner one. Yeah,
Picard.
To be fair, Tom Hardy calls him Picard.
As soon as he said that, so Chuck's gonna love this movie now.
Yeah,
just on that.
So Chuck is alone. Just wait. Is Tom Hardy just like the Star Trek Chuck?
Yeah,
we get confused a lot. Yeah,
well, but here's the thing though, because technically Chris said Picard in, I think, Generations.
When we, yeah, when technically, we I stole it from Chris, and just nobody remembered that I did it.
Sure, I might have.
When I was editing it, I heard it. I'm like, oh boy, Chuck's gonna get a kick out of this one.
Yeah,
sure, Picard.
Also, whoever wrote the title at the opening of this, were they like a kindergartner that they couldn't get their letters right? Like,
with a T going all the way down?
Yeah. Well, they were backwards. They had like three letters that were backwards in there. Like, come on, guys.
Actually, the CG for this one was actually pretty spot on. There was not many issues I had with the CG for
2002,
this.
Man. This is, I mean, same year good, that yeah. Attack the Clones.
Hey, like, but you know one of the reasons why it actually didn't do so well? It went up against Lord of the Ring, The Two Towers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense why it didn't make it then, because that was
yeah,
one of the biggest reasons.
That just destroyed it.
Yeah, $67 million made.
But if you ask anybody, I mean, the Twin Tower or the Twin Towers, yeah. The Two Towers no, is like the worst one. Yeah, that's true. So, okay, so now I'm curious. What is the gripe with this movie all of the back behind the scenes stuff? Or do people genuinely have an issue with the plot and stuff to the movie?
The Star Trek fans, the old generation of Star Trek fans have an issue with this Next Generation fans because it's so depressing of a movie. Like, the only kind of, like, uplifting stuff is the wedding. But
the beginning,
like the first 15 minutes, and then it's just dour, dark, depressing, which again, there are a lot of Star Trek Next Generations that were dark, but there was always like a balance in there. Like even First Contact, even Insurrection, there was a balance. It wasn't just yep. all dour. This was once it kind of hit, you know, with what happened with the Romulan Senate at that point with the Remans, it even got worse because at the end of it, in a deleted scene, you know, you had Riker and Deanna leaving to go to the Titan. In a deleted scene, Beverly Crusher says that she's actually taking a chief medical position at Starfleet headquarters. So she's off the ship.
Again.
So Data's gone too. So, I mean, if there was going to be a
Data's
movie
only,
after
Data's
this,
only half gone because I feel like they are programming B4 to be the new Data in this.
That kind of got interesting because in the Picard series, like when for the third season, like well, even the first season that comes into play, like Brett Spiner wanted Data to stay like gone, like Data's dead, he's not coming back. So if he was going to portray anything Data related, it would have to be a separate character related. It would not be Data.
Because they did, like, Geordi and Data downloaded all of his memories and stuff into B4.
Yes, correct.
So, you know, it obviously could, if they wanted to have Data come back, they could have.
Yeah,
but
it just would he, Brett Spiner's thing was like, he couldn't be Data. It would
yeah, and he even said
so
that.
So one could debate semantics to the point of that downloaded, but that was, you know.
I mean, realistically, yeah, Data is the best character in this, so.
Yeah, I mean, he was the new number one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's even cool. Even without that, though, like I said, Data is literally the only reason why the crew of the Enterprise has succeeded in the last three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not wrong. Except for that one point, he almost, you know, chill froze up because of all of his emotions for the first time.
Yeah.
True.
But I thought it was kind of, but yeah, it's because of how it ended on such a downer. And then it wasn't the proper send off, which is why we all really like season 3 of Picard, because it was a real send off to the characters. And it did still bring up Nemesis, so it didn't like very very loosely, but it didn't not acknowledge it. So
now, having watched this, mm-hmm. you're saying, would you say I could go into Picard, watch all three seasons of Picard, and be mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Great.
Yeah,
because I kind of do want to watch that. Because yeah, I mean, know you have said the show was really awesome. I've heard other people say it was really good.
Seasons rank for me. Third season, first season, second season.
Okay.
And like there's Voyager connections, but if all you need to know is 7 of 9 at that point, you're fine.
Yep.
And then you know her backstory, basic things, and that is all you need.
Yep.
So
now that you've watched season 3, And I assume that Picard is like done, like they've wrapped it up, so they've kind of finished that bow tie on that story. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Nemesis is better because you did finally get that? Like, because I'm wondering.
Yeah, no, I know what you're getting at. Yeah, I know what you're getting at. I'm kind of like you all, where that I got that. Yes, I don't dislike it as much because we do have a proper send off to the Next Generation crew because of that season. So my dislike of this movie is a lot less because of that. But at the time, we didn't know, and the times we were to get it, right, like it wasn't. And that's why kind of Terry Metalis had, who is the showrunner for Picard season 3 and a lot of Star Trek, that in on CBS television, that they wanted to give the cast a proper send off. And it just felt that just because I've got to think at the end, because I'll want to kind of figure out how I rank these. Like it's low, but I don't know if it's my last one if I were to rank Next Generation movies. So,
okay.
Interesting. Like, yeah, because I just stop and I think it's like, so like you can have a bleak story and still rank it really well. Like, I always think of like Infinity War. Is that that's the one where everybody gets flipped?
I love Infinity War.
Right. That ends unbelievably depressing and bleak and sad. But you do get your payoff in Endgame.
But I think it comes down to the story. Like you said, you can have a bleak movie as long as the story is good. I think the story is low, mid to just meh, you know?
Go ahead, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's funny that you say that, because I enjoyed this more because there was actually like a conflict with things going on. A. B. We didn't have to time travel. That was awesome. They introduced time travel stuff gets like
convoluted.
Very convoluted, and just I don't know. Now time travel has the more we have to watch it, the more I'm like not enjoying time travel stories.
I mean, we don't have a lot more. I don't think we have any real time.
Yeah, it's like we already watched the best version of it, which is Terminator. So like all the rest are going to fail in comparison, including Back to the Future. You've kind of ruined Back to the Future for me.
I ruined it for myself.
But also like there is an interesting concept of like introducing cloning now. You know what I mean? Like I thought that was interesting and cool.
And the idea of, again, bringing up the idea of nature versus nurture, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when you get the idea of the Romulans being, they were Vulcans, and then they agreed with the Vulcans that emotion is a existential threat. However, Romulans don't believe that logic is the counter to it. They believe in secrecy and hiding everything and not and espionage and things like that. Like that's where their balance came in. So it wasn't until this movie that the Star Trek canon acknowledged that the Romulan Empire was so successful that it was built on slaves.
Hmm. The crazy part is essentially either they would have stolen that from like Warhammer 40K, which is like a wild thing because there's two elven races in 40K that are completely designed the same way. They were the same race. Then this horrible thing happens, and they each take a different side of the horrible event, which is we either are going to use magic and continue to use magic, or we're not going to at all, but we'll just start enslaving people and triggering like all of our abilities through pain and suffering. And they like branched off in that way. And as I was watching this, I was like, huh, this is this is apparently a story that 40K constantly
is so fucking weird.
Dude, it's really it gets weirder as you go. Pretty much what happened is they summoned a chaos god by having too much sex with magic, and they created a chaos god, and then the dark Eldar were like, hey, we can't fucking do that again, huh? Let's never use magic. And the Eldari, or the Eldar regular, were just like, I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean, we caused like a whole chaos god to come together, but oh, we'll be fine. We'll take care of it. Don't worry, everybody. And so then they split off.
Ah.
And then the dark Eldar. Yeah, and then the Dark Eldar just started torturing people for fun. That's pretty much what happened. Yeah. But anyway, this movie, not enough torturing in my opinion. However, we did get a sexual assault. Thank you for that, Joe. Once again.
Again.
I wrote it in there, I guess.
Well, I'm just saying you seem to pick the you seem to pick the good ones here.
This one at least wasn't as bad as Black Scorpion.
This one was, well, it wasn't as long on the plus side.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was kind of weird. It was weird.
That's 100%.
I also didn't realize what was happening until about halfway through. And then I was like, maybe I shouldn't watch this on the treadmill. And I shut it off.
Oh, speaking of things being in awkward situations, so I was at work on Friday listening to our newest episode that dropped on Friday, which was Starship Troopers.
Ah, yes.
And
it was Super Troopers.
No, this one was Starship Troopers, wasn't it?
No, it was Super Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
You were talking about dongs.
Super Troopers, because I did not remember Farva being naked.
See, I thought it was Starship Troopers because you're talking about the...
Was Sarah on the episode?
No, that's a good point. Yeah. No, that's what it was. Chuck was talking about Starship Troopers at the end of the episode, and he was talking about... He thought that they hung dong in it, right?
That's true, I did think that.
And this is... So, like, I am in this big echoey room, and I didn't have my headphones with me. So all you hear is Chuck going, God. I thought that I saw the hugest dong I've ever seen in this. And I'm just sitting there like looking around like, God, I hope nobody's like in these hallways or in this room. Yeah. But yeah, thanks, Chuck, for that one. That was nice.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, Chris, just a reminder. That's the kind of entertainment I bring to these shows, you know?
Yeah, oh, I know. I enjoy it. And then there, especially
Chris,
like the random thing. I just want to say hi to Chris. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Chris. Yeah.
No problem, buddy.
At the most inappropriate times.
I just got to shout out
his best friend.
I just want to make sure I get it in.
I know you got to. Yeah.
Okay. So, beginning of this movie, like when the Romulans are having their little like Senate meeting or whatever,
yeah,
and that fucking thing starts going off, and all they do is just sit there and watch it. Who the fuck is just gonna sit there and be like, oh, what's this? Wow, that's weird. Why is this going on?
Also, no one
I'd have seen that thing go off and be like, all right, guys, I gotta get out of here. Have a nice day.
Also, no one questioned, they're about ready to take a vote, and the one senator has to leave. Oh, I got somewhere else to go. But we're going to take a vote.
Deuces.
That's not suspicious at all.
Nope, not at all. It's a bunch of men trying to be upset about the woman leaving. That's so sadistic. That's what they get for being
But you also have to remember that, like, if you look at our Senate, half the time, most of our Senate's not even there for a vote.
Yeah, they're not there to vote. That's different. She was there and then left. So
yeah, she just didn't want to be there. She knew what was going on. It was kind of like, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost like she was planning to kill them.
I mean, good for her, I guess, but also kind of rude.
Yeah.
And who didn't kill?
Oh yeah. Assassinating everything, kind of rude. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, maybe Chris doesn't see it as rude, but I feel like it's rude.
That's the most polite thing. That's about rude.
Yep. Data during the wedding. First off, why is everybody always an asshole to Data? He's just trying to get them information. He's obviously an autistic robot. Okay.
Yeah, he is. He is the representation of autism, and nobody has patience for him.
During his speech, he also says, "Ladies, gentlemen, and transgenders," which is very progressive.
Bro, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was beyond his time on that one.
We also got to see Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton?
In that little section.
Yeah.
Did we? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. He was just there.
He did not get paid much.
When Tom Hardy first showed up, when I first looked at him, like when I first saw his silhouette, I was like, wait, is that Will Wheaton? And then he started talking. I'm like, wait, I know that voice. And then I saw his little like lip thing, and I'm like, yeah, it's Tom Hardy. All right.
What I did enjoy about, like I said, Tom Hardy's death is not the issues I have with this movie. I think he does a very good job portraying it at that point. And what I do like about at least the plot of this is that they don't try to hide it. Like, he is very upfront saying, yep, I'm your clone. You don't believe me. Here it is. Yeah. This is what happened. Like, they were not trying to make that a mystery about it. But I do, you know, as Chuck kind of said, like, the more... And I like how you put that, Chuck, is because getting season three of Picard, this puts it in a different light. I'm slowly, as we talk through this, kind of changing where I'm putting the ranking, just because, and I'm almost kind of disappointed in the sense of, like, where are we at this point, you know, because of where we end up. But the whole thing with the Romulans, where it ends up is like, man, we're going to start having peace with the Romulans now? That's a big leap.
Yeah, because they've been the enemy forever.
It wasn't necessarily peace with the Romulans. He had one friend in the Romulans, and it was Dizzy, and that's because she's hot.
Well, no, they were meeting to start negotiations. They were to
at least cool the tensions at that point. Maybe not being
right, but that's because Picard, you know, went out of his way to destroy an actual threat to the Romulans,
mutual enemy. Yeah.
Yeah, the you know the friend of my. Or the enemy of my enemy is my friend, you know? Yeah. So,
but yeah, it's just interesting where they come up with this idea of cloning Picard, replacing him, and the whole like accelerated aging, because it's basically sounded like they were not planning on this clone lasting anyways. Like, it was the purpose of it was to come in, replace, take over. And then at that point, the Romulans would take over Starfleet, and then they'd be done with the clone. You know, it's an interesting way of the sense of not having any, like, people that could possibly turn against you. You know,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the director just got like wind of Star Trek Episode Two, and was like cloning, accelerated cloning. Let's use that.
I don't have too much faith in the director, so I can't necessarily comment.
Okay.
When he had no respect for the franchise anyways, I...
Yeah, no, from what you were saying, like, how could you think that Geordi was an alien? Like, what the hell, dude?
You'd have to be really fucking stupid.
Like...
Yeah, you can't have a black man with blue eyes. That's insane. That must be an alien.
I mean, I never watched Next Generation, and I knew even with the visor on, like I saw Geordi with visors on, the visor on, and I just that was something I saw constantly. So I knew that who the character was. I knew who Data was. I knew who Worf was. Like, yeah, how could you not in just passing know who these characters were?
I mean, he didn't even consult Frakes on anything really. I mean, he directed, and I know some like Chuck or. Did you say that? Why didn't Frakes direct? He apparently was directing something else at the time, so he couldn't take the job even if he wanted it.
What else did he direct?
Beyond Belief.
He was directing something on completing work on directing Clockstoppers.
Ooh. Oh!
I like that movie.
We should watch that movie for the podcast.
It's technically not a comic.
Shut up, Joey.
Shut up.
Anyways, I've got the power.
That's okay. I've got tequila.
No, sir.
It's all starting to make a lot more sense now.
So what happened was the reason why I was late today was Charlie and I went on a hike.
Okay.
And then once we got on the hike, we went down to Electric Works and we had dinner. And then while we were there, we had a couple drinks and we were playing pool. And then we came back home and we were just sitting here shooting the shit. And she was supposed to leave to go play games with Simon because she was supposed to be home by 7 o'clock. So I was just sitting here like shooting the shit, like expecting like, okay, she's going to leave when, you know, whatever, like at 6:15 or whatever. Right. And then you text me and I'm like, oh fuck. I'm like, Charlie, it's already after 7 o'clock. And she's like, oh shit. She's like, I'm supposed to be playing games with Simon. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you better get going home. And I was like, and I better get my shit set up. So
jeez, your kids. Good job.
You were surprised at Tom Hardy. How about Ron Perlman?
There you go.
The Viceroy.
That was Ron Perlman?
Yes, it was. That was Ron Perlman. He was the one, he was the one doing himself. The assault.
He looked so young.
You could tell it with him?
No, that's why I said he looked so young. He didn't look like an old man.
But this would have been... Because he was in yeah, but this was Blade... He was in Blade 2, yeah?
Not yet.
Blade Hellboy 2 was 04.
3, right?
Blade 2 was... Where's my list?
Oh, that was 3 or 04.
No, that's 3. I went 2. Blade 2 was 02.
Oh. Yeah.
So he same year.
Interesting.
So
here's my question.
How many times do you think those teeth stabbed him in the lips?
Every time he opened, they were
just right there.
Yeah, they're some of the makeup.
I feel like he didn't talk enough for me to figure out that he was Ron Perlman.
When he first came on the screen,
because Ron Perlman's got that voice,
I think it was when he was there with Tom Hardy and he started talking. That's when I figured it out. I think it was something he said. I'm like, wait, that sounds familiar. And then I looked it up and I'm like, oh, hey.
So have any of you guys played Mass Effect?
Yeah, long time ago.
So the Argo, both the ship that comes down and the little four-wheeler that pops out of there, just I swear to God, that's where Mass Effect got the idea for their landing units.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Anything's possible.
Looks like it. I can see that.
It is very convenient that the Argo had compartments for all of B4's limbs.
Well, it was probably actually like a drink holder and then spots for your golf clubs, but you know.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't really have much in the way of notes on this. I was actually enjoying watching it. Oh, I do have is about Admiral Janeway. It was kind of fun to see her.
Yeah.
I have her as a cameo.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Allegedly, I did see in the, because I did skim through IMDb, apparently Jeri Ryan was supposed to be in this, allegedly, 7 of 9, but she says that was never a possibility, and so that's why she did make it into Picard. So there we go. Sorry, okay. Chuck, I keep interrupting you.
That's okay. Everybody is ranked commander in this, it feels like. Isn't commander like the highest ranking?
No,
admiral.
That's two. Yeah. So you've got admiral, then you've got captain, then you've got commander, I believe.
I thought commander was above admiral.
That's a general, I think.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. It felt like commander was a much more higher rank than what.
Because I feel like it goes like lieutenant, then commander, and then captain, and then admiral.
So wait, what was Picard then?
Captain
so
Jean-Luc.
So there was no. So there was no admirals.
The only Janeway. Admiral. Yeah, it was Janeway. Janeway in this.
Okay. Interesting. I kind of got lost in the sauce on who was who. So, I did enjoy that anybody who was evil looked like they probably were in the opening scene, the bloodbath scene from Blade. That was pretty sweet. I really liked the costumes in this. I think most of the costumes seemed pretty legit. It did have the vampire-y dudes definitely had like a Hellraiser vibe to them, like Cenobite vibe to them.
A little.
Just like the black
leathery flat leather, like yeah.
Well, that was supposed to kind of be armor, but wasn't. Although I will say this, of course, we had to, like, I forgot this was like the, if this was 02, then this would have been the era of we're gonna die and like do a cool like speech when the clone is stabbed by Picard, which by the way, he does not look, he is getting to Kirk level of like, we have to hide the fact that he can't really do much, but he still has to look like with a badass.
Like the knife fight?
Yeah, the knife fight, and then like with the pole and stuff.
Well, dude, but he like, does a lot of running and gunning in the last three movies. Like anytime there's blasters out, he is like on point.
That's true, I guess. But he like, so like then the clone like gets stabbed, and then he like, he does the like the trope of, I'm gonna pull myself closer to you, and like deeper on the stake.
They got that from the first Lord of the Rings when the when Aragorn stabs the Uruk-hai in the stomach, and then he pulls himself up to him, and then Aragorn pulls the sword out and decapitates him.
Yeah, and I was just like, I go, oh, right, we're in this era. If I had seen this when I was, when it first came out in 02, I would have thought that he was the coolest character I'd ever seen in my entire life. Watching it in the lens of 2025, I thought, a bit much, a little over the top, a little too edgelordy for me. Didn't like it nearly as much as I was expecting. But still a good death scene, I thought. That was okay.
I think Tom Hardy did a great job in this. Like, he was a scrawny little, like, twink bottom in this, but he did a good job.
Yeah. And I like the makeup effects. Like, the, like, as he's getting sicker, you can see, like, the veins. And stuff.
That was cool.
That was badass.
That looks really good.
They did an awesome job with that.
Yeah, at the very beginning, every time he, like, doubled over, it was very subtle. And then the more, as the movie progressed, as it started and getting more
eyes
quicker.
Eyes changed too.
Yep. It just, everything just started becoming more prominent and quicker. So,
Wow, that was actually my last note.
Yeah, again, I didn't take a lot of notes. I was actually enjoying the movie.
The vein thing moving down was my last note.
Okay, I do have one question about the radiation thing that they're producing. That can like destroy a tenth of its energy or whatever, could just destroy everybody on the ship or whatever.
Why didn't they just use a tenth of it instead of full hundering it and waiting all that long?
Yeah. A. B. If they had almost all of it stored up and then Data blows it up, would that not still cause like a catastrophic explosion?
Yeah, but they were in space. And because space is a vacuum, fire doesn't spread, so they were fine.
Okay. Also, kind of forget that they have a force field around them, and was very confused how everybody wasn't dying with the whole front of the ship missing.
Well, so some people got pulled out, and then they popped the force field up.
Yeah, the force field finally, like, fixed itself.
I get that. But they're standing there in a giant hole.
All of
their oxygen and life support is like sifting out into the space where there would be a force, like where the force field is.
But the force field stopping it.
But the force field I was under the impression the force field was like there was space between, not immediately covering up that whole spot. Am I supposed to believe that the force field is like essentially becomes the wall?
That's how most of their windows work too. Like in Nemesis, when Picard is talking to the one chick that they bring up from Earth, and he's like,
contact.
What did I say?
Nemesis.
First contact. We watched Nemesis today. Sorry, I've had a lot of tequila.
What?
I know it's surprising, but in First Contact, when Picard brings that woman up and they're looking out the window and she's like, that's Earth. I feel like I could just, you know, like jump out. And he's like, well, I mean, we've got a force field there, but you could have, you know, try.
Right. But that was, I get that, but that was designed to be in that spot. This is a giant gaping hole that has a bunch of broken shit.
Yeah. So all they did was they just made a new force field right there, because force fields don't follow any kind of scientific logic, Chuck. All right.
I mean, also, they did a ton of damage to the hull, but still somehow the gravity thing works, so they're not just floating around.
Force field.
That's because they brace for impact, Chuck.
All right.
That's why nobody got thrown out of their chair in this time in that wreck, because he said brace for impact first. They didn't just impact.
Well, yeah. Well, they got thrown out when the other ship, Scimitar,
pulled away.
Yeah, because they weren't bracing for that.
Sure.
That how that works?
I did enjoy it, though, when he said to pull it up on the, when he's getting the call after everything. It's like, just pull it on the screen. Yeah, and he's like,
look at the screen. Like, oh wait,
never mind. I did enjoy that. I did enjoy that. That was fun.
Well, yeah, because he was depressed because Data's dead, and he couldn't remember things. And it was a nice little callback to. Although I did find it kind of impossible, maybe, that Data was able to run and jump across space.
Why? Okay, so the way that space works is, like, once he left the gravity of the ship, only the propulsion of him pushing himself off the ground was what sent him that way. The only thing that was unrealistic was when he caught the ship itself and then he, like, started going past it, he would have stopped his momentum right there, and because space is a vacuum, he wouldn't have moved past that.
Okay.
I mean, we saw Leia do it. I don't really understand.
That's what I was thinking at the same time. Point? That's exactly what I was thinking. It's the Leia move.
Yeah. Except for the fact that Data could actually survive out there.
Yeah, he doesn't have to breathe.
Because as soon as Leia would have went outside of that field, she would have imploded because of the air in her lungs.
She has the Force, though. She has the Force field.
Shut up, Chuck.
No, fuck you! You're the one who brought up the Force field!
There you go. I got it for you.
I hate Drunk Ron.
That's rude. Normally you love Drunk Ron.
It depends on how much tequila you have.
You know what? Normally I don't drink tequila. It's usually whiskey. But I didn't have any whiskey, and I found a whole bottle of tequila in the back of my fridge. I don't remember purchasing it. I don't know if somebody brought it here and left it here. But it's
that's
mine
probably
now.
What happens. Yeah.
But it's mine. It was not even open. Like, it was an unopened bottle. And it's actually, it's really good tequila.
It's okay. But you're still my third best friend on this show. So it goes Chris, Sober Ron, Drunk Ron, Joey.
Yeah.
Nice. I thought Jordan got ahead of me for a minute there. I was worried.
No. Let's not.
Shout out to Jordan. We miss you, bro.
Well, that makes one of us. I like Jordan. He's fine. He's no Chris, that's for sure.
No, there's
Chris.
There's,
he's not your there. Best friend, no.
That's true. My true
he's
real
your
best
one
friend.
Fifth best friend on the show. Breast
exactly.
Best friend. Fifth best friend, not breast friend.
Wow, you are drunk. Let's go ahead and all right. Let's go
I'm
ahead and get
not drunk.
Go to bingo.
Bingo, there's
what?
Well, that bingo. We gotta do death
count. Kill count.
Wow, yeah. That. Who's drunk now, Chuck?
I've been drinking since I can remember.
You don't drink anymore.
Kill count of 30.
Holy shit.
A lot of people died in this one. They actually had a firefight in the hallway. So
it was a firefight.
Got to actually count that. Although I did kind of find it interesting that when they were going into battle initially, they armed everybody. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But there's nobody there yet, so why are you arming people now? Why not wait until maybe...
Because if you don't anticipate the enemy's movements, you lose, Joey.
Yeah, he's got a good point there.
Okay, fair.
But most importantly, do we have a limb count?
We have a limb count of 5, all of them being B4's limbs. 6 if you want to count as torso.
Torso?
Does it count as limbs if you put them back together?
So here's the thing. Because his limbs were laying about, they were there, and they were part of a person.
I actually agree with Joey on this one.
That they, yes, they didn't put them together.
Yeah, the torso is not a limb.
But yeah, then 5 then.
Yeah,
so yes, 2 arms, 2 legs, and a head. They were the character. They were the person. B4 was the person.
They were the person before they got torn apart.
That is also true. They were being there.
Right, but we didn't know that they were a real person prior.
No, 100%. When you picked up that first hand, I was like, that's Data.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of thought so. I honestly thought it was a time travel thing.
Again, so did I. I was like, oh, great. This is like Data travels back in time to let them know that something bad happened. But then it ended up just being stupid Data instead.
Stupid Data.
Data before he had intelligence.
Yeah. I also have another tick for our die stuntman die count.
Yes, the vehicle rolling over him in the fight when they were
The gunner, yes, gunner gets crushed.
That was my very last note, but I didn't want to bring it up until this segment of the show because you know we needed some stuntman die stuff.
There we go. So that if I'm my count is correct, that brings us up to 11 currently. Seems legit. So
that's pretty good. We're doing pretty good. I will need you to go back and rewatch every movie though. And make that count more accurate, Joey.
Hard pass.
I got a month coming off between Christmas.
No. You take some of that month for yourself. Do not make another podcast. Do not make another show. You enjoy some time off. God damn it.
I don't think he can.
I know where you live. I know where you sleep.
It's okay. We can get a couple of back episodes of Getting Franchise.
Yeah, we got a whole another season to do of Getting Franchise next in that time.
Yeah, you guys are like four months ahead already.
We're not actually. We're only like 2 months ahead now.
Yeah, we're only
you two guys are like ahead. 2 months ahead. You're fine. Anyway,
we release it once a month.
You guys get 1 month and be ahead of 4 months.
You're the one that's bingo.
You're the bingo guy.
Bingo. All right, so bingo. We have. Government interference, we have implied nudity, comic logic, origin flashback, betrayal by a friend, cameo, unexplainable science, villain monologue, sexual innuendo, and misogyny.
A lot of misogyny.
A lot of misogyny.
Speaking of implied nudity, why was Worf so afraid of being nude?
Because Klingons have small dongs, canonically.
But would he care?
I don't know if that's true or not. I was just making that up. Maybe he's like awkwardly hairy or something.
But would he care?
He would because he's still an adolescent. He just went through puberty in the last movie.
That was because of the planet.
No, I don't think it was because that happened before. We discussed this last episode.
They were in proximity of the planet.
But it didn't happen when he was on the planet, and nobody started feeling anything until they were on the planet.
Because
otherwise. The half dead things that were in the ship would have started rejuvenating while they were in space, as opposed to having to be on the planet taking their resources. But anyways, regardless, he just went through puberty, Chuck, so he was feeling awkward.
20 years later, got it.
5 years later, but yeah.
Sure.
2 years
later? Look, you don't know how fucking Klingon. Puberty works. It lasts for 25 years, okay? Most awkward stage of their life, and he's in it the whole time he's in this show and in Deep Space Nine.
Hey, if Grogu can be a baby at 59?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we know about aliens, dude? Nothing. Anyways, right. What's our spawn cape there, Chuck Arino?
All right.
Mr. Nemetit himself.
I'm going to say 5 out of 62.
This looked good.
Yeah, I thought it looked good. Chuck apparently didn't think it looked very good, though.
No, that's a good. Those are close.
Yeah, dude, you've given things like 1 out of 67 like million before, so it can't look too good.
No, together is – the close together is better.
No, closer together is worse. The farther apart is better. A 1 out of 1 was Spawn. For instance, Tales from the Crypt Demon Knight got a 1 out of 122, which makes Demon Knight better than Star Trek Nemesis.
I don't remember anymore. Yeah, but Demon Knight was practical.
Shaun of the Dead got 1 out of 0.5 bajillion.
It's based on the square root of the percentages, so don't worry.
Oh, yeah, but the square root of the percentage is the refractory sin of the cosine, so...
So on to Not a Muppet. because I am done with that dumb conversation.
So either Picard or Shinzon.
I went Shinzon.
Okay.
Shinzon.
So you sexually assault? So you can sexually assault a real person? Muppet?
No, so he's a Muppet.
So it makes it interesting with Picard talking to a Muppet saying it's his clone.
Right? Because obviously he's not a perfect clone because he's not a Muppet. I was going the other way with that, where because he was a Muppet, he was not a clone, which is why I said Picard. But Shinzo would also work for that.
I was going
to actually. I would like it if it was only Picard was the only one who wasn't a Muppet, because then he's got to explain to everybody else why he doesn't think that this is actually his clone, because look at him. But then he looks around and realizes everybody else is a Muppet, so he's the crazy one.
It could be that Picard grew out of being a Muppet, and then that's why he's not a Muppet.
I like it better where he's just like, there's no way. There's no conceivable way. Okay. Oh, God.
We lost
you guys
him.
Okay?
We lost, right? We lost Chuck.
You guys okay? I got too excited.
I was going to go Data not being the Muppet, so that when he gets... when B4 gets transported to the ship, you actually could tell it's Data.
And that would make sense because like a Muppet would be like a less evolved form of Data. So that would be hilarious. Also, I like that. Data's good.
All right. Which brings us to our score. Chris, starting with you.
Chuck's real best friend.
Chris, a.k.a. Chuck's real best friend.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Better. That's better.
You got to be accurate. So I'm talking with you all. My rating has kind of gone up a little bit, just in perspective. Thanks to my best friend, Chuck, for putting that out there.
You're very welcome, buddy. Glad I could help.
I will rank this at... I'll go with a 5.76.
So that's pretty solid.
Right. Chuck?
Look, is this a Star Trek movie? Probably not. That's why I probably liked it better. I think this is a fine... I think this was a fine thing. After this, then what? We're going into the J.J. Abrams like era of movie?
Yep.
So like for me, this is a good send-off. Will I ever watch Picard? Maybe if I feel like I need to bond with my mom because she was a big Next Generation fan. Maybe she would like watching that show and I got to find something to do with her. Maybe. That being said, I thought the clone was cool. I didn't realize I was Ed Hardy or Tom Hardy or either of the
Ed Hardy's a wrestler, I think.
No, he was a clothing company.
Who are the Hardy boys then?
Jeff.
Aren't they detective?
Jeff and Matt. That's right.
Oh, that's never mind.
No, you're thinking the Harvey boys.
Those are the Hardy boys also. But Chuck knew the Hardy boys I was talking about, because who gives a fuck about 1920s detective little bitches?
That's true.
Anyways, Chuck, what'd you give this?
I do have a raging clue. I'm gonna give this. Okay. The question becomes: did I like it better than Insurrection? I want to say it's on par, but I don't remember its score. But I remember liking that. I felt like I would have...
You gave it a 4.99.
I didn't want to know.
You didn't want to know? I wasn't
going to tell. What I did like was kind of the weird, like, sibling, knowing that your like sibling's kind of bad or like at least misunderstood kind of thing that Data had going on. I thought that was interesting. I'm going to say 4.98. I didn't like it. I still think I like Insurrection better. But I like this the same.
That's fair.
It was all right.
Ron?
I actually enjoyed this. Like, I've never seen it before, but I feel like it had a pretty solid storyline. Other than the knife fight with Picard and Picard Jr. and that was probably the only part that kind of like threw me off, because like Chuck said, he's definitely getting into that era where he's too old to actually be doing the fighting. So they had to make it look like he was doing a good fight. But other than that, like I thought it was a fairly decent movie. I gave this a 6.69. Nice. 'Cause I thought it was pretty nice. Joey.
So going into this, having it been a long time since I've seen this, it had, you know, I went into it thinking this was going to be a bad movie. I'd always heard this was a terrible movie. It's like we were talking about. This is what killed the franchise. So I had very low expectations watching it. There are, like we talked about, there are some moments where it's just like, eh. We talked about being dark. We talked about some of the storyline is, to me, a little out there. I felt like there was, the very beginning, the story felt a little scattered. But it did kind of bring it all together by the end of it, which, I mean, that's kind of what you want to do. But I feel like because it was so scattered in the beginning, you kind of lost a lot of people. That being said, though, like, this wasn't a bad movie. I actually did enjoy watching it. I mean, it's probably going to be a while before I ever watch it again, but I did enjoy it, though. And I would watch it again. So I gave this one a 5.32, which gives us a combined score of 5.69.
Nice.
And it drops it in out of 170 movies at number 88, just behind The Incredibles at a 5.7, and just above Star Wars Episode 1 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, with a 5.65.
That's pretty good. It's a pretty solid spot.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I would say I liked all of those about the same.
Which means it's in a good spot.
Yeah. I'm just filling dead air here, buddy.
Oh, okay.
As I type in my thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Honestly, kind of weird. Those are fairly all different genre-esque movies. And yet they all kind of land similar together. Like, yeah, like Ninja Turtles in there and Star Trek. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Star Wars, Star Trek. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Weird to think.
Agreed. So, Chris, where can they find you at, bud?
You can find me on all the socials at Chris Balga. You can catch me every Thursday night at 9:10 Eastern Standard Time for Marvel Alliance, which you can watch live or later on the Geekverse Podcast YouTube channel or by searching on any of your podcatchers of choice by searching for Marvel Alliance.
Chuck?
Oh, I was expecting more. I don't know why. Hey, you know what? I enjoy
that's
any
you always want more from Chris, Chuck.
That's true. I listen to the Marvel Alliance podcast, and I find it very. He was my. You were my Thursday morning. You dropped it on Thursdays, right?
Friday mornings.
Oh, Friday mornings. Okay, so it was. That would make more sense. I had more time on Fridays to listen to stuff.
Chuck doesn't understand days of the week because he works so much.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest. They all started to blur together after a while. Yeah, no, it was a nice. I would listen. I'd listen to this show, and then I'd listen to that. It was very good. Hey, you know where you can find me? At the end of the month, of the last Sunday of every month, you can find me right here on this feed, a little show Joey and I like to call Getting Franchised, the latest and greatest in movie franchises. Hey, go check the archives. We have nearly 12 episodes of this, or 11 episodes
this
at this
point.
This
will be 11 by this point, yeah.
Yeah, 11 episodes out.
11.
Starting. Wait, hold on. It'd be 11.
No, it'd be 10 on Sunday. Sorry.
It'd be 10 on Sunday.
There you go.
Look, oh, you're correct. Yep. I forgot about November. Sorry. I don't know how I could forget about November, but I forgot about November. Go check out the archives. We have been doing nothing but horror movies. I'm kind of glad. because I'm getting a little burnt out on horror movies, so we're going to jump into season two. We're just going to be all over the place. It's going to be super weird and wild, but go check out the archives because we covered things like Hellraiser. We've covered things like Evil Dead. We've covered things like Suspiria, which is what just recently dropped. And, of course, House on Haunted Hill?
Yeah.
House on Haunted Hill just dropped.
Yeah. That was the last one, right?
At time of recording, I was talking about a time of release.
Like that. Well, that should have dropped today as time of recording, right? The House on Haunted Hill?
Yes, correct. It did. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I haven't listened to it yet. I just assumed it dropped today.
Yes, it did. Anyway, go check it out. We reviewed the latest and greatest in movie franchises. And, of course, you can also find me randomly. Chris, I'm working my way in, buddy. Over on the Walk Through the Multiverse, anytime Joey wants to talk about something, he just goes, hey, you want to talk about this thing? I was like, well, I have watched it, so sure, that sounds like a good idea. I'll always come on to chat with Joey about things that he specifically asked me to watch. Other than that, you can find me and my hobby page. Hey, remember last week when I showed you that board? I got it all painted up. It's all painted up.
That looks amazing, bro.
We got it all done. This is nothing but oil wash, baby.
That was awesome.
It wipes clean. Yeah, it came out really good. Oh, some fuzz on it. Anyway, got that done. You can check that out, what I just showed the boys, over at Kicked Out of the Hobby. No, we ain't kicked. Hey, I'm gearing up to paint up a bunch of stuff for Silver Bayonet. I've been working through. Silver Bayonet is a miniature game. Think X-Files during the Napoleonic Wars. You play a bunch of paranormal investigators in the front lines battling out. It's very fun. Anyway, that's it for me, Joe. Ron, where are we at? Where are you at?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky at Good to This Game. You can find my art on Instagram at Good Art This Game or on our t-shirts on TeePublic. And you can also find me where this fantastic podcast is sold. Joey?
You guys can find the show on all the social medias at Comic Book Rundown. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. You can, if you do, we'll read it on an upcoming episode. We've got merch over on TeePublic, or like Ron said, last Saturday of the month. So tomorrow I'll be covering Comic Book Rundown, which will be covering Spider-Man.
How dare you, by the way. Cover Spider-Man and not even say anything to me.
Do you want to come on? I still haven't recorded it yet.
What are we reading? I don't know.
Technically, it'd be Death of Gwen Stacy. So,
I'll check to see if I have those.
I mean, I got the trade. I can get you the trade.
I might be anyway, down for that. Sure.
Well, I'll talk to you off mic. So we got that. We've got the last Sunday of the month is getting franchised. Every Monday and Thursday is the new show, Kamen Rider Chronicles,
which Monday... I will say is pretty interesting. I've never seen the Kamen Rider, but listening to Joey talk about it is actually quite fun because I kind of get an inference to it. Well, I don't have to watch it, which is nice because I can listen to it while I'm doing other things.
I hope I do a good job.
I like it. Listen to it.
Yeah, Mondays is the new show, Kamen Rider Zets, and then Thursdays I'm doing the original show, the first show, Kamen Rider Ichigo, and working my way through all of those. It's been fun. Jumping 50 years from the original to the new one and back is just very interesting.
No, what's very interesting is that it's been going on for 50 years, because that's insane. That's a long-ass...
There was a break. There was a break between like the 80s and the 90s, where they didn't have some on. But,
Okay.
I got that going on. Go check all that out. Our song was done by Cam, and that's it. So thank you all for listening. Our next movie we'll be watching is Tales from the Crypt, Bordello of Blood.
That's an automatic Chuck favorite.
Right, yeah, he was a little upset I didn't put that on there in the last week, so
well, there you go. Christmas come early.
No, Ron, you are welcome, buddy.
lots of tits, huh? More than
not just tits, more nipples than you would expect.
Like they have more nipples, like Total Recall, where she got three.
Yeah, actually, yeah, literally.
Interesting.
Yeah, anyway, what I find actually the most interesting is that Joey decided that he needed to not only start a new show, but then make it even more convoluted and watch extra things that he didn't actually need to watch. That is the mark of a true man.
Listen, Joey is like a fucking soldier for this podcasting network. Like, he does so much work for this, whereas I do nothing. So I'm very proud of him for that.
Yeah. I did go to a carnival the other day, and guess what inflatable I got?
What's that?
A Scooby-Doo.